I was made custom for you. Only give my love to you. You my only one. You my number one.
Podcast is intended for mature audiences. The views and opinions expressed are those of the panelists and do not reflect in any way those of the podcast partners, sponsors, or affiliates. Enjoy.
You need that fear.
All I'm trying to do is make a stand for something that I truly believe is right. I truly believe is right.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Mm-hmm. Few technical difficulties. Channel was left hot. We're on late. We're taking advantage of the hippity hipster being around.
Yes, doing a show on a topic we were gonna leave for Sunday, but we decided, why not just leave, you know, another podcast in your iTunes, you know, a little feed. Mm-hmm. When you wake up in the morning, go on your run or whatever you do, bright and early on Sunday morning, you know, now you have a podcast for you.
And what exactly is this podcast about?
I mean, we're not gonna give me an intro or anything. We're just
not after you rudely jumped in. You're in here now.
You did kind of like look at me for like a response.
No, I didn't. I was just choking.
Oh, you're. Well, obviously, we're here for the World Boxing Super Series, and they had their draft today,
which kicked off today.
Yes, live streamed online. I still do not have the figures of what it did on YouTube. I will try to look that up as I'm talking. But we have the brackets now. We have the first round officially done. So, I mean, we have tons of matchups to get to. I mean, we have literally the top of the cruiserweight division completely set up. So, I can't wait. I cannot wait to chop it up with you, Ness, and the callers. And obviously, we have the super middleweight division. I know that's sort of the division that is going under the radar.
Because of those names.
It's not even the names. You have some notable guys like George Groves. I think is notable enough. But I think the fact that we have the entire hierarchy of the cruiserweight division, we have all four major sanctioning belts in that tournament. It means something. There was this sense of this is a big event. Like when we were watching the draft gala in Monaco, I mean they pulled all the stops. I mean this was a high production, high budget event, and I was kind of blown away by it, to be honest.
Whoa, blown away?
Yeah, I was.
Really?
Yeah.
Blown away.
And apparently it did 28,000 views on YouTube.
According to who?
Pittsburgh Brew.
Yeah, but that's overall. Not the live stream was about 4,600, which is good. 4,600 people. You know, came out to watch this live. Mm-hmm. World Boxing Super Series, the greatest trophy in boxing, right? That's what they were advertising. Were they saying greatest trophy or greatest honor?
They were definitely saying both, I would say. I have no idea.
Oh, greatest prize in boxing.
Yes.
The Muhammad Ali Trophy, the greatest prize in boxing. Hey. Because before Muhammad Ali passed away, he gave his blessings. And this trophy is actually made by the people that make the World Cup.
Yes, yes.
Or the guy.
The actual trophy itself is made by the person that made the FIFA World Cup.
Yes.
Cup, so to speak. But it's not like the same company, so to speak.
No,
person. Yeah, the person. The artist, so to speak.
Yeah, he's some Italian dude.
Yeah. It looks cool.
It does.
It's not the greatest prize in boxing, but it looks cool.
It does. I mean, speaking of prizes, we got to let the people know that the WBC is attached to this. We did mention that before when we were covering
the diamond belt.
Yeah, but now we have a reason as to why the diamond belt is attached to this.
What is the reasoning?
Okay, so we all know that there were seeds. There were four seeds for each division.
Yes.
And the top seed obviously got the pick from the bottom half and decide who they were going to face. So Callum Smith selected the Swedish sensation and the hipster's pick, Erik Skoglund.
The legend.
With the WBC myth. Diamond Championship is now attached to this fight.
I mean,
due to the status of the WBC top-ranked contender or challenger, Callum Smith. So it seems like because Callum said, all right, I'll join this tournament, they must have reached out to Mauricio. Like, look, we want to get high-level people here. This kid wants to join. He doesn't want to lose his ranking. So I think the WBC then gave these diamond belts so that whatever happens with Anthony Durrell and
Who's he fighting again?
Jose Benavidez. No,
David Benavidez.
That's right, David Benavidez. So the winner of this, whoever ends up with this diamond belt, will be
going to have to fight the...
Yeah, he'll be some sort of mandatory or you know, they'll finagle him in there.
Unification, using air quotes, you know?
Well, you can't unify with a WBC already. Like, if you're the WBC champion and the other one is a diamond belt, you can't really unify, but...
I mean, they're going to call it unification. Anyway.
No, I think that they'll just make the diamond belt have a mandatory... The same way that they did when they made Sergio Martinez diamond and they gave Julio Cesar Chavez the belt.
Okay. I really don't care. I think it's a mute point. Anyways.
Okay. Well,
I mean, I think it's just the WBC trying to extend their fingers into this tournament. I have no issue with it. Just because it's normal. It's what we're used
well,
to.
Well, let's be honest. First thing that Skoglund said was, I'm happy to be fighting for the WBC. He didn't say the trophy. You were watching it live with me. Yes, and the first thing out of his mouth when the woman asked him, who was very, I like her. She had the whole Spanish model or Russian model.
Italian
model kind of accent.
I think she's Italian.
Something. And there were some botches in the production, and she ran with it. She did the best she could with the, you know, no translators, very poor English from a lot of these fighters.
I am shocked how smoothly that went.
Yes.
With the amount of Eastern European or European fighters in general that speak different languages, Turkish fight, you know, the amount of possibilities that you had for mishaps with communication in these situations.
In 50 minutes of live TV, a lot can happen.
Exactly. And I thought it was pretty well done. I thought overall the entire show, the gala as they're calling it, I thought it was awesome.
Well, it felt like a gala. Everyone was dressed up.
It felt big.
Very black tie affair.
And
it's what it felt like.
I mean, obviously, you know, they are using the Muhammad Ali trophy as the selling point. But I mean, one thing that Muhammad Ali used to say is that you sort of like fake it till you make it in a way. If you're not the greatest, then you fake being the greatest till you become the greatest. I'm obviously butchering that quote. But they're sort of doing that. Like, they're not the biggest thing in boxing right now. The Muhammad Ali trophy.
But they're
not
trying
the
to give off that perception.
Exactly.
Though.
They're at least pretending to be that.
Even Richard Schaefer was like, oh my God, look at this. I've done many fights for Floyd Mayweather.
What kind of Richard Schaefer accent is that?
Count Dracula.
Oh. I was like, man, this is a weird accent. But
so, yeah, you know, he's just like, yeah, I've done countless events with Mayweather and nothing has been this grand. And I'm like, okay.
But, I mean, yeah, that's a great example of them even trying to put on this face of this is huge, this is monumental. And in some ways it is. I mean, in some ways we're excited about
this. I mean, I think
this.
That's why they took it to Monaco, right? Like, it's like, yes. Oh, one of the richest cities in the world. Let's just go over there and fake, like, you know,
of
this
course.
Is big shit.
Of course. Monaco is the Vegas of Europe in a way. Nice one, this. But digressing, I think we should get through just naming off the fights of this tournament first.
Well, if you stop cutting me off, maybe.
Wait, I mean, you were. That's
I question. Was telling you about Callum Smith's pick, but actually, first pick went to
George Groves.
What you consider to be the biggest name in this tournament.
Yes.
WBA super champion, George Pierre Groves. He obviously had four opponents to choose from, but he picked his British rival, Jamie Cox, so they can have a big domestic, and I'm using air quotes and quotes because they want to have a big domestic dust up, whatever that means.
Well, dust up obviously means like a fight. But anyways,
I don't know why they want to fight in the dust though. It's gonna make it hard to see. Maybe call finish it.
I love this.
Is it the Wild Wild West over there? Dust up. That's why.
Yeah, I believe that's where the term comes from. It's like a shootout. Like a shootout.
The Spurs kick up the dust.
Yeah, I'm not a cowboy, so I'm not gonna speak on cowboy lore and I don't know. Slang. But anyways, I was shocked by George Groves going after Jamie Cox first.
Why? I would like Leonard Sterling to let us know in the chat tomorrow, comments. Is Cox a full super middleweight or is he moving up? He seemed a bit small.
I think Jamie Cox is a big guy, but he's small in stature in a way.
But has he fought at 160 like Rob Brant?
No, I don't think he's fought at 160 to be completely honest. But I just thought that Jamie Cox presents a level of difficulty that's known more so than other guys. Not saying that he's the most difficult guy out of the bottom four seed, but he definitely is more known. Especially, you know, George Groves being from the UK, he knows about Jamie Cox more. He's seen him fight more often. He knows about the threats that Jamie Cox presents.
This is odd. And
what?
This is odd.
Why? What is?
And disturbing.
Why?
But also, to Groves' point, remember, he said this is a long tournament and this is strategic. Jamie Cox started his career at 144 pounds in 2007.
44?
Yeah.
Okay.
In 2007.
So 10 years ago.
And he continued that. I mean, dude, he was 15 fights in. He was fighting at 54. You know?
Okay.
17 fights, he moved up to 62 and a half. 18 fight, 170. Mind you, he hasn't fought a notable name. So maybe this guy's not disciplined. I don't know. I'm sure our UK listener are going to tell us, no, Ness, you're crazy. Jamie Cox is just big and he's been blowing through divisions. But I don't think that's good.
I've never seen Jamie Cox be out of shape. I've always seen him be completely in shape.
Why is he blowing through these divisions?
Manny Pacquiao went from 105 to 154 and knocked
out. Dude, Manny Pacquiao has accolades. Let me finish my point. I'm just trying to show you his career.
If you let me finish my point, because I already know the numbers. 144 to 168, right? That's what we're talking about. How many pounds is that? Okay, math is hard. That's 10, 18 plus 6. That's what, 24 pounds? Manny Pacquiao went 30-something pounds, 36 pounds. I'm just saying that 24
pounds.
Dude,
Manny Pacquiao has almost 70 fights, bro. This kid has 23 fights.
24 pounds, or was that three weight classes?
Dude, Algieri won his first title with 20-something fights at 140 versus Ruslan. This kid has 23 fights, no title, blew through 5 divisions, bro. Like, stop trying to defend him.
3 weight classes in 10 years isn't absurd.
With 23 fights? Come on, Matt. You're going to make this point drag longer than... He's wrong. There's something wrong. Something is wrong. 23 fights. Divide that.
I would assume that there's something...
Name another fighter that isn't super-duper accomplished.
Have you ever seen Jamie Cox fight?
No.
Then why are you speaking of Jamie Cox like you know Jamie Cox? Because
I don't understand. Why would you be at 172 your last fight?
I've never seen him out of shape.
I have
nothing to base
it's
this
listed.
Off of.
He fought at 172.
It doesn't matter. You're not saying anything about him being out of shape. None of this is saying that he's out of shape. This is saying that he grew up.
Yo, but
this happens. Fighters grow up and they grow out of weight
being
classes.
Out of
Omar
shape,
Figueroa is at 147 now. Omar Figueroa is at 147 now.
Yo, you're missing the point. You keep naming fighters that actually accomplish something in their weights.
Let him accomplish something. He hasn't accomplished anything yet.
Oh, my fucking
this
God.
This is the accomplishment. The
he blew through 5 divisions, didn't
five
accomplish
divisions?
It.
5 divisions? What do you mean 5? It's 3.
144 is junior welterweight.
144 is technically 147.
No.
Yes, it is.
No.
No, it's not.
No.
You are actually wrong.
No. No.
You can't weigh above 140.
No,
hold on. You're wrong.
Matt,
you're wrong.
His opponent, Matt, you just want to argue.
144 is not 140.
Matt,
you cannot weigh 144 and it be a light welterweight bout. It cannot be sanctioned that way.
You just
want
to argue, bro.
No, that's just literally impossible.
If you open this up.
His opponent can weigh 140. That's totally fine. But it's not a 140-pound fight. It's not sanctioned that way. It'd be sanctioned as a catchweight.
Okay. Okay, Matt.
There's no 144-pound weight class.
Okay, Matt. Okay, man.
Am I wrong? Is it 144-pound weight class? When does the junior welterweight class limit hit? 141.
His first fight was at obviously at 140, but you want it not to be.
You said it was 144.
He was.
Then that's a catchweight.
He was. His opponent was at 141.
Okay.
All right. So obviously this kid can't make weight. Because his next fight.
Maybe he was trying to suck down to 140 when he shouldn't have.
Yo, just open the page, bro. This is stupid.
I'm not going to open a box rec when you have it right in front of me. Bro, you're giving the numbers to me. You're
obviously not in agreements with any of them when you can open up and see that there's something wrong. His first fight's at 44. The next one's at.
It's his first fight.
The next one is 11 pounds heavier, Matt. Why are you doing this? I don't understand.
I mean, how many.
You're arguing what's in black and white. He's 155.
He missed a weight class that he probably should have never been trying
anyway,
to get to.
Anyway, Jamie Cox and
he never fired junior welterweight, so
Jamie
I don't know why
Cox
you're bringing it up.
And this guy are fighting. Then they have Chris Eubank and Arthur Abraham. They're gonna actually get to fight the dentist, Avini Yildirim.
Whoever he is.
Yeah. He is actually someone that Chris Eubank Sr. picked. This was an interesting part of this whole World Boxing Super Series. I don't know if it shows that everyone in Monaco, except for Arthur Abraham, knew or feels that Chris Eubank is going to beat Arthur Abraham. But the father of Chris Eubank Jr., Mr. Sr., Chris Eubank Sr., was in attendance for the gala draft pick. And he actually made the draft pick himself. For both fighters, allegedly they said, you know, for the winner of the fight. But if the father of one of the people in the fight is there, pretty much.
I mean, wasn't even a slip up with the host saying that, like, when Eubank wins or something like that. Didn't that happen?
Well, I remember her actually saying, well, no, he has to win first. Like, remember, like, you know.
But it was one of those like, haha, he has to win.
Yeah.
It was weird. I'll be honest. It was kind of odd. I was wondering how they were going to do that before the gala started. Because obviously there's no seed there yet. There's nobody in that actual spot yet. I like that they at least brought out somebody that we know. And Chris Eubank Sr., we know him as fans of the sport. He definitely brought his usual persona and character to the show. I thought it was a good move. I thought that's of all what you can do in that situation, that's probably the best thing you can do for the brand and just making it, again, a bigger event.
FYI, Matt was defending Jamie Cox. He's out of here the first round. So the last seed, the fourth seed, was German Bremer.
Jürgen
Bremer. And our friend, undefeated U.S. challenger, Rob Brandt. It's funny because people say, oh, you know, you're biased or you're not biased and you think you're not biased. And I showed my bias today during this.
Oh yeah.
Gala draft pick. Obviously, with Groves being first, I was saying things like, damn, don't pick Rob Brandt. I hope he doesn't pick Rob Brandt because he feels Rob is small, moving up. He's green. And then he didn't pick Rob Brandt, George Groves. And he went with, obviously, Cox. So the next pick was, Callum Smith. And I'm like, fuck. Callum Smith, he's tall as hell. Excuse me. He's tall as hell. This is not the first matchup I want to see for Rob Brandt. And then Callum Smith goes and he picks the Swedish sensation, Erik Skoglund, which
the
is
legend.
Which is your, you know, hardcore favorite pick or whatever. Yeah. So that was like, all right, two birds right there. They'll have to deal with each other. And then obviously the winner of Chris Eubank Abraham gets the dentist who claims.
Dentist.
Yeah, that's his name, the dentist.
I know, but I just think it's funny.
Well, he's the one that claims in sports the knockout ratio. So Rob actually, for a quick second, right, again, in my bias show, right, for a quick second, when I seen it was Jürgen Bremer that got that had fourth seed and he was obviously matched up with Rob Brandt, I said to myself, perfect. He gets the older guy. So he's sure to get a win to the next thing. But then I thought to myself, wait, this guy actually fought at like heavyweight. This guy may be accustomed to taking bigger shots and may be the bigger guy. But then we seen the face off and Rob Brandt to be 160 pounder seemed to be, I don't want to say significantly, but I want to use the word significantly bigger than
not taller, right? But he looks bigger, wider. Yeah, bigger.
Well, his shoulders were taller. I know you. You talked it up to maybe shoulder pads, but who the fuck wears shoulder pads in their blazer these days?
Not shoulder pads, just the cut of the suit being very pointed. Like that, that could happen where it makes your shoulders look more pronounced. I'm not saying he was wearing shoulder pads, but just the cut of his suit looked very crisp, and that could lead to you looking like you have broader shoulders. But I agree with you mainly that he did look like the more mass on him as a guy. I'm not surprised a lot of people passed on him, though, because he was a red-hot prospect at 160. Like, he did earn some level of respect in the trenches at 160.
I wonder, like I wondered to you out loud during this live, draft gala pick, do you think that they were fearful or mindful that Rob Brandt is trained by Derrick James? Derrick James went to the UK, very vocal, and he's been. Now, obviously, Derrick James isn't the only one that feels or has felt in the past, before Errol Spence actually proved anything, that he was the goods. So just because Derrick James said whatever he said about Earl and Earl proved it to be true doesn't make Derrick James miss Cleo and can see the future. But do you think that somehow that stigma is there and people do think like, well, if he's wasting his time to train this guy and the other two guys he trains are champions, you know, this guy must be good.
I'll put it this way. I don't think it's the main cause or the main reason, but it's definitely one of those things where you're putting an item checklist of the pros and cons of facing that opponent. You know, if you're the one in the seed and you're picking, like if you're George Groves and you're going through the pros and cons of each guy in that bottom four spot of what can they give me, what can they produce for me, how much can I get back from them in monetization, and then how much of a threat they are. And I think Rob Brandt equals not a lot of money, to be honest, but he does equal a lot of threat. Guys like Jamie Cox equals more money because of the UK.
But wait. That's an interesting topic that we can segue into before we get to the cruiserweights, obviously. You're saying money. Yes. And I was thinking that while you were speaking, did any of these picks represent a bigger payday? But then I thought to myself, no.
Yes. These No.
I don't think there's any outside negotiations. I think that the top seeds are getting an amount and the bottom seeds are getting an amount. I think that there was a set amount per fight. There's a budget, obviously. You're not just saying, all right, George Groves could get $2 million per fight and Jamie Cox, or excuse me, the next other four seed is going to get one. You think they did it that way?
Well, again, you're also thinking about just what money the tournament can provide.
Oh, you're saying ticket sales.
Ticket sales, pay-per-view sales. Think about it. George Groves versus Jamie Cox in the UK could be a pay-per-view headliner. I don't know. I'm not going to go on a limb and say that is. I don't know the market that well, to be honest, in terms of what can sell as a headliner. But that could be an option. And that's the reason why maybe George Groves did that. That the marketability of that fight within his own market that he has
Won. Well, he did call it a domestic dust-up.
And remember, George Groves is really the first one in the modern era to start, or him and the Carl Froch fight was the first one to start the stadium era of the modern era. The fact that we can do 60, 70, 80,000 seat stadiums, 90,000 seat stadiums, that was started because of George Groves in the UK. I think on the back of this tournament, I see Eddie Hearn making this a headline pay-per-view in the UK. And
you're saying Eddie Hearn. I don't think he has anything to do with this.
I think he will. How else is it they're going to deal with television in the UK? Are they going to deal outside of Eddie Hearn or Frank Warren? I doubt it.
Because
Eddie Hearn is still the promoter of Jamie Cox and George Groves. He is still the promoter.
I don't know about Groves.
Well, Groves does fight on Sky Sports.
All right.
I don't know if he's a promoter. Sorry, I can't speak for Groves, but I do know Jamie Cox is promoted by Matchroom Sports. Okay. So, I mean, this tournament doesn't make
that makes
void.
Sense. That makes sense. I like your way of thinking. I like that you're saying the Super Six Boxing Series decided to give people a purse, but they decide the ticket split.
And also, think about this hypothetically. George Groves versus Jamie Cox, and then compare that to a hypothetical fight between Jürgen Bramer versus Eric Skoglund. Obviously, there's a bigger market for one fight than the other. So I assume, based on the matchups, yeah, the bigger fights will produce more money, and therefore the fighters will make more money. That may be why we saw a lot of these fighters, and obviously we're going to get to the cruiserweight division, take on very tough, high-level matchups within this first round. I think that's the reason why, because they're trying to monetize every fight they can in this tournament, which makes sense.
Yeah, the cruiserweight lineup featured, obviously, all four reigning champions, which is something that's important in this division.
And the fifth, you know, the special IBO, you know.
True.
Your fan.
Yeah, he was, you know, he got his belt, you know what I'm saying? So, the KO King and rising challenger, Murat Gaziev, the IBF champion, did not get the pick because obviously he had a mandatory challenger that somehow made its way into this tournament, which now makes sense why a guy with more name recognition and TV time like Christoph Glowacki ended up being a reserve, and this Warcheck guy ended up being a fucking starter, was because he was not giving up his mandatory spot or accepting any step aside money. And that is the reason that Murat Gaziev did go first with his seed, but he didn't get the pick. He had to stick with his mandatory challenger in Christoph Warcheck.
Now, very quickly, hypothetically, why couldn't they just do something like a Chris Eubank, Arthur Abraham? Like, make the fight between Gaziev and Woldrick or whatever his name is, and make that scheduled, and the winner of that fight, let's say, Glowacki. That would have made more sense, I would say, to be honest, but it's unfortunate.
I think it's all part of the signing, you know, the
negotiation process. Yeah,
for Murat Gaziev, you know, he gets paid well. He's with Heyman. He just became a champion. You know, he had options. You know, he could have easily defended his title with this mandatory challenger. Mm-hmm. On a PBC card that Heyman would have put together, probably in the wrong neck of the woods where no one in his fan base would care, but it would have gotten done. He gets allowed to get into this tournament. Obviously, you know, the options become endless with all the champions at the top. You know, smart move. What are you going to do?
Usyk, the first seed, picking Marco Huck. That was kind of surprising to me, I'll be honest.
Yes, and what was even not surprising, well, I guess it was surprising, but what was very entertaining was Huck and his mannerisms. Obviously, very bad English, but it gave me the sense that, because the question by the Italian model was asked to Usyk, why did you pick Huck? And he said, my fans. So Huck, when it was his turn to speak, he replied, and I got to paraphrase this part. It was something more like, you know, basically like he's going to prove the fans wrong, kind of, and that he was happy to be in that particular moment. You know, it's a challenge. And he easily. And that smirk, that little cynical type villain look that he gave in that face off, and Usyk had to initiate the final handshake. Huck looked like he means business, and obviously this is a way to catapult him right back to the top. Usyk is hot shit, you know what I mean?
And remember
Huck also said when asked, hey, how do you feel about fighting Usyk? He said, this is my wish fight. And this is obviously where the Italian model made a mistake. He said, what? And he said, you know, my wish fight. Like, this is what he wanted. Where other people were probably, you know, thinking strategic. Like, let me stay away from this tall fucking cruiserweight that likes to box. Huck is like, let me go towards this Olympic guy who has all this fucking hoopla and knock his pussy ass out.
And remember, because he can't Huck punch. Was champion for like 6 years. And he had 13 title defenses. I mean,
Glowacki is the one took him out of his fucking reign.
I mean, Huck's the closest thing you get to like almost like a Klitschko of the cruiserweight division in a way. Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, so familiarity for sure. He's been the name forever.
I mean, if you're any sort of boxing fan, you have some familiarity with the Cruiserweight division. You've heard of the name Marco Huck. So I think this fight's big. I mean, obviously, we've had a lot of people sort of shit on Usyk recently for not being the most exciting fighter, not producing knockouts. I'm not saying this fight's going to be that, but this does add credibility if he can get that scalp. If you get the name and the legend that is Marco Huck, because like it or not, Marco Huck will be in the Hall of Fame one day. He will be. That's just the nature of the Cruiserweight division. He will be in the Hall of Fame. Getting that guy on your resume means a lot, and it adds credibility to your title reign, which is still very early. He's only had 12, 13 fights. So I think this is an awesome move by Usyk. Ballsy. Definitely gets the fans talking. This was probably the best matchup you can get out of the first round, other than the one that Breedis picked. I love the Mars Breedis pick. I think him fighting Mike Perez, that to me is interesting because, you know, both guys aren't the tallest cruiserweights.
That might be too much for him.
Perez?
Might be too much for Breedis.
I don't know.
I know.
I don't know that you don't. That's a very intriguing fight to me. I'm very conflicted on that fight.
You know, I'm going to go out on a limb and say Breedis has more skill. Agreed.
Boxing technique, fundamentals.
I've seen Mike Perez get caught up in like slug fights and stuff.
Get gassed more.
But in order to make cruiserweight, which he obviously can. He's already had a fight at Cruiserweight. I follow him on all forms of social
media.
He's
in shape. He's looking good.
The man is in shape.
He's disciplined.
They disrespected him by using an old picture of him in this World Boxing Super Series, to be honest with you. You know, the midsection and the breasts slash chest of Mike Perez in this picture is not, you know, what he looks like now. It's not an indication of that. But I asked myself, he took some punches from heavyweights.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't the best heavyweights.
He's been around the block, yeah.
They weren't the best. I mean, he was knocked out by what, Povetkin?
Yes.
With a one banger.
Yes, that was brutal.
Then, was that Povetkin that knocked him out? Maybe we should be double checking this. And then there was Brian Jennings beat him, outpointed him, right?
Yep.
And what else might be around there?
Man, Mike Perez is always the guy that I always felt like he lost every time he would go on TV. I feel like. I love Mike Perez, to be honest. Entertaining fighter.
The Rebel. All right. So we got Alexander Povetkin, who knocked him out in one.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got Brian Jennings, split decision loss. Carlos Takam, majority decision. All these fights at heavyweight, 230 pounds, 242 pounds, 231 pounds, 240 pounds and a half. You know, I'm wondering, was that the problem? Was Mike Perez eating himself into a division that he didn't belong in?
It happens.
He's 6'1", you know,
which is more naturally a cruiserweight.
So, should our perception of him change? Can his skill set be more suited for a lower division? And does that give him punching retention due to the fact that he's a career heavyweight? He's a career heavyweight. He has had one fight at cruiserweight. He's always been 226 plus pounds.
The only guy really in this tournament that I go, his power equals that of the heavyweights that have been knocking him out is like Agassiev. So, like a Breedis, I'm not too worried about knocking out Mike Perez. I feel like this is probably going to go decision. It's going to be a very close, entertaining fight. Probably going to be controversial.
Just a quick side note.
Yes.
BoxRec is disrespectful. None of these fights from today's galas are registered. They don't need to know location to put that.
Wow. It's BoxRec. I mean,
the Callum Smith is not there. None of them. Not even the Perez.
Damn. No love from Bob.
They didn't watch the gala. Just saying.
I mean, maybe they're just waiting on the location, I guess.
I'm just saying Mike Perez is not to be dismissed. We have to factor in that he shaved off 30 pounds.
And the thing with Breedis is that he is, I think, a little bit too methodical to where he can definitely be outworked.
He might have to do a film study because I remember his last fight not being that pretty.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't that pretty. It was very, not slow paced. That's the wrong word. It was just, it was very measured. And a guy, and a guy like Mike Perez, you cannot let Mike Perez get on you for 12 rounds.
So to give our listeners a bit of intrigue and make you want to kind of root or get behind the last seed in
Doritos. Sorticos.
Yeah. What was his first name? He's actually Cuban, so I'm going to start respecting my boy.
And he's good. He's actually really good. I know.
But he's facing Chudasov, who's allegedly a big-ass puncher, the Russian hammer.
I've never seen him fight. He looks like Ivan the Terrible, dude. Like, I have no idea.
Yeah, well, they keep, you know, they're bigging him up as a puncher.
I mean,
what I want to see, though, what I want to see from this is repeat business, meaning, when this is over in May, announce the next one. Don't wait.
It has to be big.
Announce the next one.
It has to be big.
You know, I also would like to, like you, credit their production. I think that they did a good job with the production. I like that they went straight to stream, you know.
Does it make you believe? Or
I
think?
Do like their, like, just the way that they work, like, I have all still shots, all face-offs. I have brackets, everything. They're keeping us very informed.
Yes, their press releases are very nice. But do you believe that this is a sign that we are not getting a U.S. television right for this tournament? Or are we getting it streamed online?
Why? Because the gala?
Yeah.
No, any indication? I think the gala wasn't that big.
To where they can try to get it on TV.
I think they can use the gala and the production of it to package this and sell this to a network.
Okay.
But don't forget, man, they got Chris Eubank. This might all end up being on ITV.
True. Very well. And isn't Eubank have like a deal with BT Sports?
I don't know. I know he's fought on ITV and, you know, that was the whole thing.
That's right. Favorite matchup. I want to hear your favorite matchup out of the whole bracket. What's the one that gets you going, that makes you go, man, I cannot wait to see this?
I don't think I have I cannot wait to see this.
Whoa. No love for any of these matchups? Nothing?
And I cannot wait.
I mean, no love for your boy, Rob Brandt?
Check it out. I'm going to give it to you in layman's terms. I'm going to give it to you as easy. Look at this. I'm looking at the face-offs right now.
Yeah.
And I'm saying to myself, I know George Groves. But
you don't know Jimmy Cox.
I used to pick George Groves. I don't know when I stopped picking him. I don't know if it was after that first knockout or maybe the second knockout. Maybe I even fell victim and thought that, nah, he got caught up.
He can win the second one. Yeah, I did. I got caught up.
Because I thought he got caught up. He was doing good. He rocked Frotch.
He knocked him down.
And then Groves kept kind of going under, switching trainers and all this stuff. I know people saying he's back, but, like, you know, the guys he's fighting, I'm not interested. Now he's fighting this domestic kid who I'm already noticing ain't going to be able to hang. Mm-hmm. He's not disciplined enough. His box rec tells another story. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not interested in that. It's not like, I mean, I'm interested, obviously, because I'm invested in the tournament now, but I'm not like, oh, this is the fight that you're asking me to pick out or point out. Callum Smith, same thing. I've interviewed him. I met him, you know, seen him in D.C. and stuff like that. It's tall kid, you know, but he ain't fighting nobody. And now he's picking somebody that I don't even care. Who's he fighting? Skulgin?
The man.
That's Eric, right?
The myth.
Okay. Skulgin. Yeah, I never heard of him, and he's always just flirted with the bottom of the division. That
legend.
Dude. Yeah, I know. Legendary for being under the 20-ranked, you know, guys for very long. He's been down there. I remember that. And then I guess the interest comes with Chris Eubank, to be honest with you. I've slowly become a Chris Eubank
fan,
family, team member, kind of backer, supporter. I love that senior, before he made the pick, he put the little fucking peanut M&M,
monocle.
You know,
the monocle.
Yeah, the monocle in his eye. I was like, oh.
And he kind of like knew
what I didn't
like. It was part of a gag. Like, he's like, oh, I got to put it on.
Yeah. What I didn't like, though, was the fucking man purse. And come he's on, still man. Wearing it in the...
You should assume it's coming. The man purse, the vest, and those shoes. All
but it,
normal
scene. You know, when people do things like this, this is like wearing sunglasses indoors. You know, because obviously he didn't come alone. Obviously he knew he had to come on stage. His assistant, whoever he came with, could have held this laptop case-like man purse with no string. You know, it was more like a laptop case, like an iPad, Louis Vuitton leather holder. It was unnecessary. Now, I know people are like, Ness, but this part of the show is unnecessary. Why we have to even care that he walked on? But it just, he always does something that makes no sense. But again, I think that's what draws me to him and his son. They're so different. Like his son, remember, his son was like, he grabbed the IBO belt from Regulin. Like, I would never let no one grab. Like, they just say the right things. I like them.
Chris Eubank Sr. is the LeVar Ball of,
never heard of him.
Boxing. Stay in your lane.
Who the fuck is LeVar Ball?
You don't know who LeVar Ball is? He's the dad that said, stay in your lane. Remember the soundbite I got?
Never heard of him.
Stay in your lane.
But I know now because you're saying stay in your lane.
But it's that guy. That guy, the antics, the character, the persona, where it seems so obvious it's sort of this act, but it still draws you in. Like you,
I guess, you know, to make it quick, you picked the best fight.
Me?
I
mean, we have different opinions.
No, but Usyk Hook is the best fight. Like, on paper, it's the best matchup when you're thinking of not only skill,
it is the best matchup. Yeah.
Not only skill, but name recognition. It's the biggest. You know, I want to fight for Perez, but damn, even as a fucking cruiserweight, he's shorter than Brittus. You believe this shit? Scary.
It's not my favorite matchup, the Huck Usyk one, but it's definitely the best one. My favorite is obviously Callum Smith versus Eric Skoglund. Come on.
Yo, he never let go of the man purse. Even here with over 20 people, he took a group pick with the man purse.
Did he have the monocle on?
He did the face off with the man purse. It's crazy. It's like it was part of his outfit, and his stylist was like, no, you gotta use it. Oh man, you know, and again, even with my investment in the Rob Brand, I'm not, you know, his fight is like, I can't call it the, you know, like my best matchup. So Usyk.
And very quickly before we go to any more of this topic or the callers, go to iTunes, drop a 5-star review. It helps grow the show, the brand, and helps get new viewers in to the podcast.
For sure. Speaking of podcasts, remember to subscribe here on Blog Talk. You get those notifications. Check us out on Patreon. You'll get those private messages. Really quick, Alexander Usyk is only 12-0 with 10 KOs, but he is already the WBO world champion, and he won that in great fashion by defeating, what's his name? Christoph Glowacki.
Yes.
Junior Doctritos, the Cuban Olympian, sporting a 21-0 with 20 KOs, is the WBA regular world champion. And Murat Gaziev, 24-0, 17 KOs, the IBF world champion. Can't forget the Doritos is the IBO as well, right?
Yes.
Yes, he's the WBA and the IBO champion.
But isn't it just the version of the WBA?
Yeah, I said he's the regular.
Okay.
And Meredith Brittus is the WBC since Tony Bellew vacated to move up. And he is actually the diamond Bellew is. So if he ever decides, he could come back. Christoph Warchek, the former IBF and WBC world champion and IBF top rank challenger, is 53-3 with 37 KOs. Marco Hook, 40-4 with 27 KOs. I mean, there's some talent here. I mean, even Perez, again, 22-2 with 14 KOs, and that's that heavyweight. You know, he might have more power now. not hitting those big guys. I wonder, could he be our dark horse of this?
He could be, but
I mean, a career though, Matt.
He's not going to win this tournament.
A career at heavyweight?
He's not going to win this tournament. It's too deep.
Mm.
And you know what? With how deep of a tournament this is, I think the winner of this may be due to luck. I mean, I know I've been saying injury, and I don't want to be jinxing this event, but the likelihood of one guy out of these 16 getting hurt and falling out and us needing a backup to come in is very likely.
Let's just hope it's not a belt holder.
Yes, good point. Very good point.
Because I don't want to lose any
possible unifications.
Well, I was going to say luster, shine.
Well, I mean,
I don't want the tournament to take a dip in value.
Theoretically, you could maybe lose one of the cruiserweight champions and it not be that big of a hit.
No, it would be a big ass hit because you almost had an undisputed division. And then,
but you won't no matter what because the WBA super champion, unfortunately.
Dude, this would be our This would be our...
our guy.
This would be our undisputed for sure. Let's go to the sponsors and then to our callers.
These calls are brought to you by El Camino Electrical Services, experts in electric vehicle charging stations. For consultations and turnkey installation, visit us at elcaminoelectricalservices.com.
Gonna go out to Australia early in the morning.
No one can stop me, really.
Oh, there's a King Croc right there. This croc has enough power in his jaws to rip my ear right off.
You're gonna be the legend to become a legend.
Honestly, I'm beautiful.
You're gonna be the legend to become a legend.
Hey, boys. Just afternoon here, so I'm passed out at work on a Saturday because, you know, got to make that dough. But, man, I'm heaps stoked about this tournament. I think boxing should enter more tournaments like this. I think more champions should get involved. I mean, what happened in the glory days where, you know, the best were fighting the best, and now UFC's taken over because, like, whatever, Dana White or whatever's in making sure the top one guy beats versus the second best guy in the division. I mean, and now we're finally going to have a undisputed cruiserweight division. And I think it's a little bit more deep than people think. I think it's a deep division than people recognize. And I'm definitely excited for the Huck Usyk fight. And quick question, Matt, who are you picking to win the cruiserweight division in that tournament? In the tournament?
I mean, obviously, technically pick Usyk. I think Usyk is the deserved favorite to win it all. But it's so deep. I think there's a lot of a great matchups that can prevail. And, man, I don't know. I think that's the toughest thing to predict is the winner of that tournament. I think super middleweight you could predict and be very safely assured by who's the winner of that.
Okay, who's that then?
I think George Groves is the safe bet. I think George Groves can probably beat everyone on this, in that field. Skill-wise, from a boxing standpoint, George Groves is a better boxer than everyone in that
tournament. He's not durable enough.
That's the question. Is the durability? That's what I question. But again, I think
that dude
better.
Takes mad punches, mad punches, mad
I'm
punches.
Surprised.
Mad
I'm surprised
being a verb here, a lot, a bunch.
I'm surprised you think super middleweight's safer than cruiserweight. I think Usyk should be a very clear favorite in the cruiserweight division, and I think the super middleweight's kind of not up for grabs, but it's going to be very competitive, regardless of who wins. I think it's going to be very tight, very even fights can happen. But we'll see. Maybe Ness's boy, Eubank Jr., will prove he's got what it takes. But we'll have to wait and see. But thanks for the show, boys. Anyone support on Patreon? I mean, we get these notifications while YouTube is YouTube still down, or if,
still
regardless,
gone.
Support Patreon.
Mm-hmm. Still going, man. Waiting on them. But it's going to be both my boys, to be honest with you, Alex. It's going to be, I'm calling it early. Chris and Rob in the end.
That'd be very unlikely.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
You're a hater on Rob. I can't wait to go out
it's
to Texas and he
spars. It's not about Rob. Him. It's not about that. I'm saying the fact that we get two guys moving up from middleweight in their careers to super middleweight and then being the last guys in this tournament.
Yeah.
That would be very surprising. It just would be. Not one of them making it. That, look, that seems likely.
It's going to work itself out. excuse me. Wow. I'm going to tell you why. George Groves is very likely to get a bye. Right?
What do you mean by like he just wins, right? You can't say bye. Bye means something very different than winning.
No. In our interpretation of this tournament, bye means this fight is so easy, he's getting a bye.
I think you're underestimating
Jamie Cox
a lot. Yeah.
All right. Well, you know my what's my motto? I don't watch him till I gotta watch him. We gotta watch him. Until then, he's no different than No, I've actually, a lot of people have actually told me about Jamie Cox, but I mean, I don't know, looking at that box record and seeing him eat those divisions up in 23 fights, I mean, that's scary.
I think you are putting way too much stock in somebody's first fight who probably was told to go to a division that they maybe should not have gone to. Because again, that was his first fight. I mean, we've been in the gym. You know how if guys don't have the right people behind them, fighters are sort of just making up as they go.
I mean, I know I'm Boxer King and all, but he's never had a 3-star fight.
Okay. Jeff Horn is number 8 pound for pound and the number 1 welterweight.
He's had a 3-star fight. I bet you. I bet you Randall Bailey or someone else like that.
He just had one of the fights of the years against Manny Pacquiao, so obviously he has a 3-star
No, I mean, I thought you was trying to pull a fast one and say pre-Pacquiao.
No. I'm saying that BoxRec, I think we put you, sorry, not we, you put way too much stock into those 3 stars and those ratings because obviously there's a flaw in the algorithm. If a guy like Jeff Horn now becomes a top 10 pound-for-pound fighter off of one win, and now he's the top welterweight in the world.
There it goes. There's some discrepancies here, bro. This guy probably went to jail or something, and I'm not wishing that on him.
I think I remember hearing something about his backstory. I don't know what it was.
Something happened here. Because, look, 2007, very busy. 1, 2, 3, 4 fights. 2008, shitload. Maybe 5, okay. You know? 2009, 1, 2, 3, 4. 2010, 1 fight. 2011, 2 fights. 2013, 1 fight. So he ain't had no fight in 2012. What was that? Locked up? Came home 2013, got a parole violation, locked up for 2014 because he only had 1 fight in 2015. So he missed the whole 14 and the whole, I don't know. I'm just saying he could have been.
I don't know.
Could have been, I don't know, hospital. I'm just, I'm obviously using what most fighters go through. So I'm saying jail, maybe not jail. I guess that's rude, right? Maybe health issues, family issues, but gone for all of 2012. Gone for all of 2014, came back 2 fights in 2015. He's not a star. So when we think to ourselves, Ness, but Mayweather, Mayweather. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
These guys are supposed to fight more than just 2 times a year. So then where else does he go? After 15, he's back in 16 for 1 fight. All right, maybe this sounds like promoter managerial issues. 2017 is his busiest year with 2 fights.
Since obviously when he first started, where he had like 5 fights a year and 4 fights a year. Yeah. Again, I've only been on Jamie Cox for maybe his last couple fights, maybe this last year, so to speak. He sort of burst on the scene with a couple really good performances and showcases it, just to be honest.
Ha ha! Fucking the fact checker, TBV fact checker, on March 2nd.
Shout out to you, bro.
2010. Cox was found guilty by a jury of assaulting a man outside of a Sweden bar. Speaking of the event, which happened during a night out, Cox told the jury, "I feel terrible. I deserve everything I get from it." The incident had followed an argument with the man whom Cox allegedly had verbally abused him before the men got into what Cox described as a little tussle. Sentencing was set for March 25th, 2010. With Cox receiving a suspended sentence of 6 months in order to pay compensation, court costs, and community service of 250 hours. In 2016, Cox was sentenced to 26 weeks in prison for an assault, harassment, violence to secure entry, and criminal damage, which occurred in an attack on his Russian exotic dancer ex-girlfriend in which he threatened to kill her. However, in June 2016, he was released from prison His conviction was overturned and all charges were suspended on appeal. Shout out to fucking Cox, like the criminal's superhero, getting his shit overturned and thrown out on appeal. So I was right, you know.
He had some legal issues,
obviously. So this adds character, though.
Oh, so now you're a fan.
I'm not a fan.
You instantly
I'm not saying I'm a fan. I'm optimistic. The glass is always half full at TV.
So now you have reasoning as to why there's a discrepancy.
There's reasoning why his record has this discrepancy. So now I can be a little more lenient to that. And also, I can even give him edge, mental edge. There's motivation now. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? He has that determination, that hunger is what I want to believe this young man has. After going through everything that he's gone through, he's desperately dying to change his past and rewrite history.
And think about it, he gets a title shot in the first round.
Exactly.
That's huge.
Dream come true.
And it's going to be
for a guy whose career has been up and down, James Kirkland style, in and out of jail.
Yeah.
For your first round pick to be a world title shot, you're in boxing heaven.
Easily. And the tournament doesn't stop there.
And you feel like, oh shit, all these wrong turns I made in life,
now they're all corrected.
Exactly. So again, yeah, I'm behind Jamie now, knowing what took place. This is what we do here. We're optimistic. Glass is always half full. But interesting.
But first, it was like, he's fat, he's undisciplined, you know, fuck him. Now I was like, oh, you know what? He has
never
character.
Said fuck him.
He has character. He's a good citizen.
Never said fuck him. But if he went to jail, he got fat. That's why he's 172 pounds.
But now,
which is still frightening. It's still frightening because it means in 2010, when he was only 14 fights in, very young prospect, still weighing 148, meaning welterweight.
Dude, he must have been a massive welterweight.
Meaning only moving up one division. No, he's not massive. He went to fucking jail and sat around. They don't let you do much of anything.
No, but he's in shape now. What are you talking about?
But you grow up.
No, I understand.
You don't have boxing to kind of, you know, boxing kind of fucking restricts your skeleton and shit. Sucking down like that so often.
But I mean, can you imagine? I mean, you've seen Jamie Cox. You saw him in the gala today. He's a pretty broad guy. I mean, it's like a Rob Brandt type,
I mean,
would
he's
say.
Looking up at George Groves. He's a little, I mean, you know, he's not that much smaller than Joe Groves, but he is looking up.
So is Rob Brandt looking up to Bramer. But you said that Rob Brandt's bigger than Bramer. So obvious bias in how you talk about
I don't Brandt. See Rob Brandt looking up to Bramer. Look at the picture. I'm so glad we're in studio together.
I
know, because I sent it to you.
I know. Hold on.
But you rather not look at facts. You just make shit up.
I don't make shit up. Well, you said
he's looking up.
Where is Rob Brandt?
You're wasting time, and you could just say, yo, you're right.
I'm not going to say that.
Of course not.
But he is shorter.
You measure from the shoulders, not the head. And the head is still.
And his shoulders are smaller. Yeah, they're
you
lower.
You wasted
lower.
All the time right there.
Waste all the time. Anyways, you want to get to the callers?
I mean, you were getting to a point that you
but
obviously
it doesn't
don't
matter.
Remember.
It doesn't matter. Jamie Cox, I think he's going to do good in the tournament.
Good?
Yeah, I don't think he's going
to
win.
He's out first round.
He is, but he's going to look good.
Sacrificial lamb. Grove said it himself. This was strategic. We're going to pick the undisciplined, in and out of jail, can't stand it. This kid's a blown-up junior.
No, he's more like a blown-up.
Junior welterweight.
Super welterweight, I would say. There's no way he was going to stay at 140. What are you talking about? His one fight. He had one fight scheduled at 140.
Anyway.
He may have been scheduled at 140. Maybe. We don't know.
It is going to be good, this thing. Because if Callum could beat your guy.
Shut up. Don't even say that.
I'm just saying. You know, there's so much hype about Callum. The height and the hype. And if he beats your guy. He becomes an automatic possibility for Groves, who we assume will be Cox. And then, I mean, if Eubank beats Abraham, I'm going against this guy, Envy. And, you know, Rob's going to beat Bramer.
Yeah. Yeah.
So either way, I mean, the bigger fight, obviously, is Groves. Eubank.
Well, now we can actually quickly like run through the tournament.
Groves Eubank. That's the fight. That's the fight. And then Rob gets Jamie Cox, unless Skoglund gets the upset.
Jamie Cox.
Excuse me. Callum Smith. Unless Skoglund gets the upset, which makes it better for Rob because that's more of the
they're
same height.
Size. Yeah, they weren't equal size.
Mm-hmm.
I can see that playing out, but I can also see Eubank not fighting George Groves in the second round. That's very possible.
Yeah, to make it a bigger fight last round.
I would see I think Skoglund's going to beat Callum Smith. I'm biased. I can see a Eubank fighting a Skoglund instead of a Rob Brandt. And George Groves fighting Rob Brandt. George Groves versus Rob Brandt. I would love that.
That's gonna be Groves' death, Rob Brandt. Are you laughing?
I think Rob Brandt will probably wear him down.
Let me see something here.
Just because of the durability factor. But George Groves is definitely gonna give him some issues from a boxing standpoint.
Yo, George Groves. Mm-hmm. Let me see here. My man George Groves. I seen some people put some hurting on him.
Yes.
There's tape out there. He didn't do well in that Badu Jack fight.
No, he did not. But for his credit, neither did James DeGale.
True.
A lot of people thought Badu Jack thought that he won that fight. Come on. And I think Badu Jack
Rabisi fight coming off that Groves loss to Frotch. I don't know. He's always like, look, after the Frotch, he had the Rabisi where he didn't look good. Then he fought Duglin, who, you know, technically is 154 pounder moving up for that opportunity. Then he fought Badu Jack, rightfully so. He lost, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Andre De Luisa, you know that. You know what that was. And David Brophy, not Trophy, Brophy. You know,
great name.
Martin Murray.
But for the record, David Brophy, undefeated boxer.
Yo, Martin Murray, that was decent. But even that, Martin Murray was moving up. Mm-hmm. From 160. But and
I believe that was coming off the heels of Martin Murray getting robbed in the Arthur Abraham fight, right?
I'm pretty sure it was coming off the heels of Martin Murray losing to Gennady Golovkin.
I'll check that very fast on Martin Murray's resume. He was robbed from Arthur Abraham, then beat Cedric Spira, and then fought George Groves. Yeah.
And then
he should have had a title.
This guy, Edward Gudchenek.
Yeah, I'm not even gonna try to pronounce that.
So then he got the good win with Fedor Chudinov, which wipes everything away, and it's like, oh, he's back. But I see inconsistencies, man. You can't ever forget that he lost to George Groves if you scored the fight. Excuse me, if he lost to James DeGale if you scored the fight, in my opinion.
True.
There's just inconsistencies in him. I don't know, but we'll see. He could be different. He won the title that he's been desperately trying to get. That alone could change him.
I think there's a clear ceiling on George Groves. I don't think that he's inconsistent. I think there's just a ceiling. And we always expect him to do more based off what he says and what we thought he was going to do in that first Carl Froch fight.
Well, he's in a good position for this first round anyway. You know what I'm saying? He's got the experience. He's got an easy fight. But that second round...
I want to say easy.
That second round's going to be... All right, we'll see.
I think Eubank has the easiest fight.
Oh, yeah? Envy?
Yeah.
That second round, that's going to prove the men from the boys. And, I mean, here with the Huck Usyk, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like Huck is old as hell, but he's only 32. He's just been in that division so long.
Age is but a number. It's wear and tear.
It's also rounds.
Yeah,
it's rounds.
How many times have you been hit in the head?
And that's why I consider him old, even though he's 32.
He is old. You know, I would consider him. He's past his prime.
So I'm wondering what's gonna, you know, is he really gonna be able to be all there for Usyk, who doesn't hit that hard though?
But he boxes beautifully.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't say he doesn't hit hard. He just doesn't want to commit. Like there's a clear like killer instinct.
I like all these fights in the cruiserweight, though. I do. I really can't pick them. I've never been a big fan of this division. You know what I'm saying? I never, you know, followed it like as closely as any other, because obviously we don't really get these on TV. You got to go seeking these fights. Mm-hmm. So this guy that Murat Gaziev is defending mandatory, no clue, never heard of him. So, you know, there's more investment in that super middleweight division, even though I'm probably equally invested. I mean, I got a Cuban, then I got two Cubans now.
Yeah.
Got two Cubans. So we'll see which one of them pan out. Mm. You imagine the Cubans end up in the end? Right. They look like little brothers and shit.
I wonder what the betting odds are that we'll get Cuban winners in both brackets.
You can't.
Yeah, Doritos.
Doritos is in Cruiser. And so is Mike.
Oh, fuck. That's right.
Yeah. World my bad. Boxing Super Series. The greatest prize in the world. The Muhammad Ali Trophy is on the line, plus a couple of WBC diamond belts and things of that nature. We're going to get out to some callers here. Obviously, we got those alumni out there waiting.
Mr. Info Joe.
This portion of the show we call In the Know, presented by my brother.
Yo, 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 what's up, my boxing brothers? What up, Ness? What up, Matt?
What up, Joe?
Joey Joe, what up?
Oh, man. Oh, good to hear y'all, man. Good to hear y'all, brother. I had some kind of glitch with the Patreon, but I'm back. Missed the show. Hey, far as this tournament, I think it's good, man, for boxing. I agree with Alex. I wish some of the other divisions could have got in it. Nobody in it right now is a star, but I think at the end of the competition, we'll have a star out of both of those divisions. Can I pick a winner? No. I don't know enough about some of these guys. So, but whoever is victorious at the end will become a star. Yo, Ness, how's Matt doing? You putting the finish polishing touches on him or what?
Oh, man. We are turning him into a star. He's going through the World Boxing Super Series tournament every day in training camp, bro. He sparred everything, you know, to be honest with you. Today okay. He sparred okay. some world class amateurs that are nationals in open class and southpaw. The other day he sparred a heavyweight female, which I spar too, bro. She ain't no joke, because it ain't no joke, bro. She's serious. I wish she lets me record. It was, you know, and remember, I even said in the past, obviously you listen to all the shows, so you heard me say in the past, like, oh, I think I said Enrique got in there with her or someone got, and I was like, yo, I ain't want to get in there with her. But then when the coach said, Ness, get in, it's like, what the fuck I'm going to do? Look like a girl and not get in with the girl? So I had to get in with the girl. She punches hard. So Matt got in there with her. Matt got in there with a 2-0 pro or a 3-0 pro. Matt's really been working. You know what I'm saying? We've been taking him to get the conditioning into. He's been running. I'm making him work. I had him throwing up, though. The boy threw up a couple times, Joe.
No, he threw up a couple of times here, too.
He did? Oh, shit. So it's just some natural shit with his system then. I thought it was like he ain't get pushed enough over there.
No, man. He threw up over here, too, man. I thought it was maybe he not eating right in the morning or what.
Yeah, they was about to jump his ass in the gym. He kept throwing up and missing the bucket and shit.
Shut up, Ness. Don't front. Come on.
What you mean don't front? Everybody
in the gym, ass.
Yo, everybody in the gym was like, yo, man, go get the Clorox, yo. Go get the bucket. Get some water. They just kept giving him instructions on how to clean his vomit.
I didn't know how to clean up vomit.
Yo, you had them nervous, bro. It was icky.
It was icky.
Nah, it was straight water, bro.
You gotta work on that, man.
It was straight water. Yeah, yo, let me tell you something. He's so lucky he got credit, bro. When he was vomiting, the coach seen him. He got turned off a bit, and then when he seen it was water, he was like, oh, you know, he's breaking that level. And then the fucking female said the same thing, the heavyweight. She's like,
and for the record, those levels. I vomited on the first day in the gym, and I haven't vomited since. Right?
Yeah, that first day, he was nervous as hell.
Yeah, I was nervous as hell.
The body shots was ringing on his
ear. Man.
They were beating that drum. That's what happened.
Oh, tight. Good to hear that, man. All right, man. So when y'all taking off, man?
Monday morning, B. It's over.
Bright and early.
Today was the last day of sparring, man. We went back to the gym. Look, we never went on a Saturday, and we went this Saturday, man, just to, you know. Look, just got the notification right there. Pack your bags. It's almost time for your trip. Shit just
That's literally right, came through, man.
It's going down. I want to remind all our Patreons, especially Smoking J, Franklin, Walter, Demetrius, Neil. Those things are in the mail. Everybody who I mentioned yesterday, everything will be out in the next couple of hours. All packed up. Got your names on it. So please be on the lookout. Don't let nobody steal your packages, man. Because I got this great one-time Thurman shirt on that I sent Compa, and someone jacked them. So I'm sending you another one. You know what I mean? But don't lose it. But Joe, man, I really wish you could come out here, man. I wish you could be out here, bro. We needed you, man. Next time, we're going to get it done. But what you think about this betting line? What are you more interested in, the cruiserweights or the heavy or the super middleweight, so I can give you the betting lines?
The super middleweight.
All right. So who's your favorite in the tourney for the super middleweights?
Is Chris Eubank in super middleweight?
Yes, he's in the tournament if he beats Abraham, but it looks like he's going to beat Abraham, according to everyone.
Well, I think it's going to be at the end. It's going to be Eubank and Brandt.
Wow. You know that Eubank is the favorite. He's a 3-1.
Really?
I can see that.
Your boy George Groves is a 7-4. What the fuck? That's almost 3-1.
Wow.
What the hell is a 7-4? And Callum Smith is a 13-8? What the fuck? I don't know, man. Yo,
who's the favorite? Usyk is the favorite for cruiserweight, right?
Yeah, he's 5-6. What the hell is a 5-6? We're going to need – where's Bruce at? Bruce, man, press one. Come explain all this shit. You know you are better. Jamie Cox is a 12-1. There you go, Matt. You know who else is a 12-1? Jürgen Bremer. See what I'm saying? So you're wrong, bro.
Why do I care about Jürgen Bremer?
Because you're trying to make it seem like Cox was more than what he was. And I just keep ending up being right. Now he's a 12-1.
Well, hold,
then
hold,
I proved.
Hold up.
Thanks
hold
to
up.
Bruce, I proved the hold Eddie up. Inconsistencies in his career.
What wasn't Jeff Horn a major underdog against Manny Pacquiao?
So every day we get an anomaly in boxing, or we get a phenomenon.
No, something like that. I'm just saying an upset. Upsets are more likely to happen than we think, especially in a tournament.
Yo,
especially in a tournament.
You want to rub it back in?
What? We're back in.
Do you want to rub it back in? The Rob Brandt is a 33-1.
Wow.
Yo, Rob, they're disrespecting you. But guess what? I get to rub it back in your face.
Why?
Oh, Eric Skoglund is a 33-1.
Put some money on him, baby. Yeah.
Damn.
Bet the house.
Yo, he's
on him.
A worse underdog than Rob Brandt because his name is last.
No one bet the house on Eric Skoglund. Do not sue me if you do that. Just want to put that out there.
Outright, these are outright bettings, you know what I mean? So, you know, if you pick them to win,
I'll put like $50 down.
No, I'll put $100 on Rob. That's 3,300 just to win the tourney.
I would too.
We're gonna have to see. He's gotta beat the I'm gonna be honest. Listen, Rob, I know you're gonna listen to this probably on the run. You got to beat the shit out of German. But let me see who he lasts for.
Jürgen,
German, whatever. I've seen his last fight, and he's old already, bro.
Did he fight Abraham?
Did he fight Abraham?
I don't know.
Is that who it was?
I feel like he fought Abraham. Abraham fought everyone. Dude.
And it was a head clash in that fight, right? I believe so.
I don't remember. I don't really pay attention to Bremer fights anymore.
I'm going to tell you once I find his name.
Oh, because you don't want to type it into BoxFight because you don't know how to spell it?
Hell no. Who the fuck spells it when you can just copy paste?
That is very true.
This guy's name. Like, you want me to fucking spell German?
Well, while you are looking for that, Joe, any final thoughts on your call?
Oh, no, that's it, man. Hey,
Cleverly.
Man, you represent.
This guy lost to Cleverly,
man.
Bro.
You're just going to cut off Joe like that, Ness?
I didn't even know. I was trying to find Joe the information he wanted.
You got so excited that you just cut off Joe.
Yeah, because the Bramer's last fight was Cleverly.
Because Bramer was at 175. That's right.
Yeah, but Cleverly punches like...
Hey.
He's the light heavyweight middle Malignaggi. No disrespect to you, Malignaggi.
Malignaggi? I don't know who that is.
Who's Malignaggi? Malignaggi.
Malignaggi. Hey, yo, Ness, one quick question.
That has to be a lie.
What gym are you going to? Whose gym are you going to in Florida?
We actually got two. I'm trying to get a Miami gym. I just got the message today, and my boy's like, yo, what happened? You still want the gym? I'm like, bro, you said you was going to text me the address. He's like, oh, I forgot. And then, so whatever. We're going to see with that because I'm trying to get it in Rigo's gym. I think it'll be a little funner in Rigo's. But if not, we definitely solidify Kevin Cunningham's gym. With Devin Alexander and all those guys over there.
Yeah, I've seen this gym.
We'll see.
Yeah, get him to judge it, man.
Exactly. That's what we're trying to – if not judge, we want at least, you know, the owner or someone big that represents the gym to be at least the ref to keep it clean, you know.
That's right. Word.
Somebody got to save
right,
Matt
represent.
From himself, you know what I'm saying? Cause
so, I wasn't paying attention. Are you talking shit, Ness?
No, I was saying someone's got to save you from yourself.
Yeah, because I'll just keep going, you know me.
Exactly. I don't want you getting disqualified because you want to keep beating on Warren.
Exactly. Poor
That's
Warren.
Right.
Warren, sign that life insurance, buddy.
Yeah.
Bring the body bags.
So, yeah, I mean, back to this. Joe, thanks as always for calling in, brother. Can't wait to get your thoughts on the actual fights, Border Wars, you know, and see what you thought of the
and
final
obviously,
outcome.
Call in tomorrow. We're going to have our flagship show.
Yeah, we will be back Sundays, guys. We're going to do the Sunday right here on Blog Talk until YouTube lifts that, you know.
And until then, pray.
Infringement.
Pray to whatever God you believe in that YouTube gets this done ASAP.
Yeah.
Because YouTube is dragging their feet in this process.
Draggy. They got till the 18th, so we'll see. Yeah. I guess the last place we left off was thinking that Rob Brent needs to really put a statement kind of finish on Bramer. But I mean, if Cleverly, who's a bigger man, didn't do it, well, yeah, he did. He got a no, but I'm telling you, there was a headbutt.
Yeah, it wasn't like a legit TKO.
Yeah, it was a headbutt in this fight.
I think expecting Rob Brant to put on a showcase performance against a gamer like Bramer, just
experienced vet. So
I mean, I believe he's a former champ as
well. Yeah, definitely.
Man, I highly doubt he's going to have a showcase win. I mean, it just doesn't seem likely. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but can he afford to go life and death with a 38-year-old?
I'm not saying he goes life and death, but definitely take it. Box. The first round, you're going to see a lot of people just trying to box and not try going to wars because you're going to have to bounce back relatively soon, and you're not going to want to get cut up. You're not going to want to get all bruised up. You're not going to want to get injured, so you're going to want to box and box very methodically and with clean fundamentals. And I think Rob Brent can probably outbox Bramer for all 12 rounds. That's probably what we're going to get.
Well, we're going to schedule Brent. We're going to be doing a couple of interviews with him. We should follow him really throughout this whole thing closely.
The friend of the show, you know.
You know, get him on Fight Week, get him on posts, all that stuff. Well, we wanted to come back. This is some big news in the boxing world, and we definitely wanted to chop it up with you guys about this one and give you these updates on the seeds. Something we haven't seen before. It felt good to be part of the process.
Felt different.
I'm going to stick with the word good. I was pleased to be part of the process. I was happy to see, even when they debuted the song, they showed us behind the scenes of the CGI.
Very quickly, when I said different, I didn't mean that in a derogatory way. I mean that in a very positive way. I think that it just felt not like a regular boxing show. It felt like a big event.
Yes.
I mean, like you said, with the music video and the...
It could have been a little fuller, right? It felt...
Again, it's also a low-key event, really.
Well, rich people only. It is in my...
Yeah, trying to be a big event, you know? So you're going to get that vibe where it's kind of like... it doesn't seem that big, but they're trying to make it that way. But anyway, they're definitely making themselves seem different than anyone else in the boxing game right now. Like, no one else has what they just brought today. Like, I don't see PBC doing that. I don't see...
Well, I actually seen a lot of PBC in that. The suits, the face-offs, it was very similar to the announcement of PBC. The streaming, same thing. Except PBC was exclusive. They only sent it to certain people the access to view it. But the stage, all that, the background, to me, the images.
This felt like American Idol, even NBA playoffs and draft.
No, the music composed by all that was PBC, Hans Zimmer. I mean, it's cool.
Hans Zimmer isn't a rock star. I'm sorry.
I understand, but they had their own. No, they had a composer do a world boxing series. Not that other song.
Hung up on a point that's not what I'm really trying to talk about here. I'm just saying that they brought something different. They did. What they brought today was very different than what PBC has brought. It is. The way they were able to show it again. I don't remember the PBC rollout of
that. Yeah, you probably didn't get to watch it.
I don't remember that by heart. So maybe I'm wrong. But again, this felt different. This felt like it was a major sporting event mixed with the Oscars, mixed with I don't know. It felt very, very different.
You obviously didn't watch the PBC rollout announcement. There's no way.
I think this was just...
They all wore the same suits. They all came out in the
I remember the picture. I remember that event.
Picture is where they show everyone.
But again, this was different. This was. I'm sorry. It was.
Listen, semantics. Doesn't matter.
I think that they obviously spent a lot of money into this. This wasn't cheap. Nothing about this was cheap.
No, I mean, just being in Monaco and flying all those guys out there.
Yeah, and some of them on late notice, too. You know, very late notice. So God knows what those ticket prices were like. But anyways, I'm excited for the event. You know, obviously, there's tons of fights we didn't really talk about that I can't wait to talk about. Obviously, we're probably going to break those down with the fights.
Callum Smith is the favorite, according to Bruce. He says Callum Smith is a 7. I don't know. He said Callum Smith's the favorite.
Okay. cool.
That's your boy,
Callum Smith.
You were super excited for him to fight the other before he got in this tournament. You were.
Callum Smith is the red hot prospect, and my guy's about to steal all that hype.
Okay,
I'm gonna put it that way. But I'm excited.
You think Eric Skoglund is like another Ndongo pick for you this year?
Yes.
Lies.
Yes, he's my new Ndongo,
you're just
man.
Wishing on a new Ndongo pick because that one is getting old.
What do you mean it's getting old? He's about to unify the entire division, man. Come on. I'm just joking.
He picked them on air, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm just joking. Let's not go too far. Terrence Crawford, don't beat me up. Anyways, digressing. Can't wait for this tournament. I'm Matt Pipster Hunter. You can find me at Mixed Combat News on Twitter. Matt Hunter TBB on Instagram. My MMA podcast, Mixed Combat Radio, is on Patreon, SoundCloud, YouTube, iTunes, etc. Peace. We're out of here. Ness.
I am your host, Ness GTO. Find me on Instagram. Yo, my man is Info Joe. What up, though?
What was that?
It was my outro. Singing it.
That was singing?
Rappy?
Something. It was something. I don't know what it was.
Happy?
Yeah, sure.
Happy from homecoming. Listen, I want you guys to join us on Patreon because tomorrow we're going to be having overdrive kind of time. It's like overtime. We're going to be overdriving.
The Boxing Voice Overtime episode. God, what is it now?
10, 11?
What? It's 11, something like that.
But we have a lot to talk about.
Yes.
Because we have a lot of... we did a lot of research. With Matt being here on the East Coast, we were able to do a lot of things together, and we have a lot to discuss. Yes. It so much so that we did an episode of Untitled yesterday, and we couldn't even squeeze in all the movies because we went and watched
Tupac movie, Baby Driver, and Spider-Man. We went and saw that today.
Spidey.
So we were talking about all three movies tomorrow. All three. And obviously, already on Patreon is our Untitled show,
where which we did yesterday,
where we broke down Jay-Z's new album 444.
Yes,
and some obviously, you know, some drama,
pop culture. We spoke pop culture. Pop culture, we'll leave it at that.
Yeah, some good shit.
Can't be telling you what's on there unless you're a patron.
And then if you do not know what that is, go to patreon.com/theboxingvoice for as low as $3.
Buy us a coffee.
Well, it's $3 a month, which comes out to, I believe, 10 cents a day. You can come support the show and get tons of extra content, tons of extra shows. I mean, we do at least, what, 5 podcasts extra a week just on Patreon?
I know.
And let alone live fight chats, let alone videos, Untitled, let alone interviews, let alone sparring, let alone interviews. The list goes on and on and on. So, yes, go to patreon.com/boxingvoice to get tons of extra content.
And listen, everyone doesn't have to go in their wallet. We don't need you to do that. You know, some of you guys might be shopping on Amazon. What, Christmas coming up pretty soon here? I mean, it's summer. You might want to buy, I don't know, bathing suit, stuff like that. Use the boxingvoice.com link, and we automatically get a kickback. It costs you absolutely nothing, but you support your favorite podcast and make sure that we stay around here on the air and that Matt can, you know, do his job properly. Listen, once again, I'm your host, Ness GTO. Find me on Instagram and Twitter at Ness GTO. It's been great. Check you guys out tomorrow, 7 p.m. Eastern time for sure.
Yep. Peace. Be out of here. Peace.